The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the words of the Gospel, your sins be wiped away.
Through ordination, priests act in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ the head, to lead the church and administer the sacraments, while deacons act in persona Christi Servi, in the person of Christ the servant. I pledged my obedience to Bishop Doherty and his successors to serve him and the people of the diocese as he calls me. Once a year, when Bishop Doherty visits St. Louis de Montfort to celebrate the sacrament of confirmation for our high school students, I am honored to be able to serve Bishop in a most visible and tangible way at his side at this altar during the confirmation mass. Confirmation represents the celebration of the last of the three sacraments of initiation into the Catholic Church, completing each confirmand's reception of the sacraments of baptism and Holy Eucharist at their first communions. I joined the Church as an adult, and therefore my confirmation was relatively recent, if you can call 30 years recent. An emphasis used to be given at confirmation that through full reception into the church, the confirmands are soldiers for Christ, reflecting words from St. Cyril of Jerusalem from the 4th century. Even to the point of being sealed with a slight slap on the cheek by the bishop, as a reminder that they were expected to suffer for the faith. I did not experience the slap. We celebrate the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul this weekend, as Father mentioned. So, and since this feast falls on a Sunday this year and is itself a solemnity, like all of our Sundays, it replaces the normal celebration of the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And the readings that we just heard are specific to this solemnity and gives us insight into these two great apostles as pillars of the early church. In our gospel, we heard a bold Simon Peter speak up for the rest of the disciples when Jesus poses that probing question, asking them directly, who do they say that Jesus is? I've always admired Peter's boldness and willingness to put himself out there and speak up, even when others around him are guarding their words. I suppose I tend to be a little more guarded like those others. But Simon's testament that Jesus is the Christ and Son of God merits him the new name of Peter, which comes from the Greek Petra, which means rock, and that the church would be built upon that rock foundation of our first pope, St. Peter. Jesus goes in on to pledge that the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against his church. I think this is an often misinterpreted scriptural statement from our Lord, often being expressed and understood that the church is strong and will fend off the attacks of the evil one. But this interpretation brings to mind a familiar hymn from my early days as a Methodist, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." But this interpretation sees the church in a defensive position, which is not what Jesus was saying. No, Jesus expects us to be on the offense as soldiers, attacking the gates of hell and telling us that those gates will not hold up to thwart our victory. We see kind of both aspects of defense versus offense. If we look at the apostles beginning on Easter Sunday, where were they on that morning? They were holed up in the upper room with the door locked out of fear for the Jews, that they would be the next to be arrested and killed. They were cowering in their fear. But then through the season of Easter, we saw a transformation where these same men were then imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and were lit on fire to preach the gospel, regardless of their personal consequences. Peter and Paul were such soldiers for Christ. Jesus gave each of them their apostolic missions, and they responded by preaching the gospel on offense, placing themselves in mortal danger, but grounded in the confidence that the gates of hell would not prevail. Our first reading from the book of Acts has Peter arrested by Herod to be made the next example after the killing of his fellow apostle James. Herod had Peter thrown in prison and was just waiting for the completion of Passover so that Herod could win the favor of the Jews by killing another of the followers of this Jesus. And then in our second letter, St. Paul to Timothy, we heard as well of Paul's words as he recognized his earthly life was drawing to a close, as he kind of compared himself to a glass of water being poured out and about ready to be emptied. After his conversion, when Jesus appeared to him on his own way to persecute and kill the Christians, that former persecutor Saul became Paul, the foremost apostle to the Gentiles. His extensive travels and writings founded and built many local churches, all in union with Peter and the 11. Both of these saints were martyred for the faith, likely around the same time in Rome, by the Roman Emperor Nero in his persecution of the Christians. Peter by crucifixion, some say hanged upside down, and Paul is believed to have been beheaded. But we also hear in our readings today the trust and faith both of these saints had in God's protection and promise, not of the safety of their mortal lives, but in the confidence of eternal life. Our responsorial psalm refrain was, "The angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him." Both Peter and Paul speak of that protection the Lord had given them. The angel that rescued Peter from Herod's imprisonment, and the strength that Paul received through all his travels and proclamation of the gospel. Paul spoke of competing well, finishing the race, keeping the faith, and not just for himself, but for all who have longed for our Lord's appearance. Brothers and sisters, by virtue of our initiation through those sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation, we indeed have been equipped and made soldiers for Christ. Yet another childhood hymn comes to my mind, probably my favorite hymn growing up. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. May we always be on the offense as soldiers for our Lord and rest in the same faith and confidence of Saints Peter and Paul, that our Lord will indeed protect and rescue us with the promise of eternal life, and that we each be awaited with the crown of righteousness when our earthly race is done and we are called to our heavenly home.